It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 910 for the 6th of December, 2024. This week, some of Adobe's improvements in Photoshop and the other photographic applications are little short of magic. Boring and cumbersome tasks can be handled now by AI, giving photographers more time for creativity. And in short circuits, if you've ever had your Facebook account stolen by thieves, or know someone who has been a victim, you understand how difficult it is to recover the account, if recovery is even possible. That's why you should act now to enable security measures for your account, particularly two-factor authentication. Artificial intelligence continues to be the primary development areas for Adobe's products. In fact, it sometimes seems that this is the only place where Adobe is spending time and money on development. That's not the case, but the AI advances are so dramatic that it can be hard to see the other work. Lightroom continues to be more like Lightroom Classic and works with the mobile Lightroom camera, which isn't supported by Lightroom Classic. Even so, Lightroom seems to be intended primarily for those who value support for mobile photography, while Lightroom Classic is designed for more professional and advanced amateur workflows. That they're both included in Adobe's photography bundle gives photographers a great deal of choice. Let's get some pricing out of the way first. There are three packages, two at $10 a month, one at $20 a month. Lightroom, Lightroom Classic, Photoshop for Windows or Mac, Photoshop for iPad, Lightroom for mobile and web, Portfolio, and 20 gigabytes of storage comprise one of the $10 per month plans. The $20 per month plan includes the same options, but it expands the online storage to 1 terabyte. The second $10 a month plan includes only Lightroom on desktop, mobile, and web, Portfolio, and 1 terabyte of storage. If you need to justify any of those costs and you're old enough to remember film, think about what you paid every month for film and processing. In comparing online storage, Adobe says 20 gigabytes is sufficient for about 4,000 JPEG images, and 1 terabyte is enough to manage about 20,000 RAW images or 200,000 JPEG images. Those numbers will vary depending on the average size of your images. If your RAW photos are 50 megabytes each instead of 20 megabytes each, the total number of images that can be stored obviously will be lower. For those who desire additional applications such as Dreamweaver for website design, Premiere and the other post-production apps for video editing, InDesign for page and publication design, Illustrator, Express, Adobe Fonts, Scan, and more, well, most of the individual apps can be added for $10 a month, or you can sign up for the full Creative Cloud package at $60 a month. So, what's new for the 2025 versions of these applications? Denoise and Remove Distractions are new features in Lightroom Classic. Although a noise removal feature has been present for several years, the new Denoise feature uses AI to improve the image. And it works only with RAW images, not JPEGs. It creates a gigantic copy of the original image. In my tests, the duplicate image is usually about twice the size of the original. You'll see a photo of a duck from 2018 at Sharon Woods Metro Park on the TechBiter Worldwide website. It's not a particularly noisy image, or particularly good image for that matter, but I knew it could be improved. I started with the traditional luminance noise reduction feature. The noise is reduced, but the image is also just a bit softer. The view on the website shows it at a 1:1 resolution in Lightroom Classic, so it's just the center part of the image. If I had bothered with denoise at all on this image, I probably would have accepted the results of this edit. But the image has another issue I wanted to use to illustrate another feature, so I used it for the denoise feature too. In addition to creating a much larger copy of the file, denoise uses cloud-based processing. The amount of time required will be substantially more than the legacy function, which is essentially instantaneous. For the image that you'll see on the TechBiter Worldwide website, the process took about 10 seconds. That's certainly acceptable. And this is not a feature you'll want to use with every image, because denoise creates that new, larger, gigantic copy of the file. The adjustment I chose reduced the noise, which is most noticeable in the dark areas of the duck. It also did a good job of retaining detail. But look behind the duck's head. Part of a tree branch floating in the water looks like it has pierced the duck. Poor duck. This would have been a nightmare to fix using the clone stamp tool, which is still relatively new to Lightroom Classic, and not as functional as it is in Photoshop. So probably I would have sent the photo to Photoshop, removed the branch there, taking likely a great deal of time to do it because of the complexity of the image, and then returned it to Lightroom Classic. That's not the only problem, though. The full-frame image shows another distracting branch in the upper left, and there are some reflections in the water. Again, not an easy job to fix, even in Photoshop. Note, too, that following the denoise process, the original 28-megabyte image has been joined by a new image, 57 megabytes large. That's approaching twice the size of the original. To remove the branches, I activated the Remove Distractions function and painted a mask over both branches and their reflections. Lightroom Classic did everything else. The branches are gone. The duck is now the center of attention, as ducks often are. The highlights in the back of the image are somewhat distracting, though, and I think the entire image could use a bit of vignetting. Lightroom Classic handles that very easily. The addition of powerful new features like this in Lightroom Classic means that even more post-processing can be done here, instead of creating a copy that needs additional editing in Photoshop. But Photoshop is still ready to step in when the editing requirement exceeds even what Lightroom Classic can do. So let's take a look at Photoshop. Photoshop's Remove Distractions feature is astonishingly good, except for when it isn't. And when it fails, the result is horrid. But there are some workarounds. You'll see an image that I started with on the TechBiter Worldwide website, one with a lot of power lines. Knowing that the needed corrections were well beyond what Lightroom Classic could handle, I sent it to Photoshop. I wanted to clean up the overhead power lines, so I selected the Remove tool and chose Wires and Cables from the context menu. The result? Well, the result was abysmal. The wires remained, and Photoshop had dropped black dots in seemingly random locations. This apparently is in part a hardware problem. My primary computer, a notebook, has a graphics processing unit, a GPU, but apparently it is not sufficiently powerful for this particular function. It's essential to turn off GPU processing and have the CPU handle the entire task. This extends the time required for Photoshop to calculate and apply the changes. But at least they work. As if by magic, the wires are gone. Entirely. Beautiful job, Photoshop. But keep looking at the image. The poles are still there, and the shadows from the wires remain on the road. This is the kind of task that would have required the clone stamp tool previously, but Remove Distractions can also be applied with a brush. So I applied a mask over the power line poles and the shadows on the roadway. Gone. Doubtless Adobe will eventually figure out how to deal with substandard GPUs so that users will gain the advanced speed benefit of the GPU. Without the disastrous effects that I saw in trying to remove wires. Remove Distractions also knows how to deal with people you'd like to get rid of if they're in an image, perhaps random people in the background of a family vacation picture. The first image I selected for testing included my younger daughter several years ago at Inniswood Metro Gardens when a Big Bugs exhibit was there. Now, I normally wouldn't remove her from the image, but it seemed like it might be a good test image. Photoshop disagreed with me vehemently, telling me it didn't see any people that weren't the subject of the image. So there, photographer, take that. Well, if I had really wanted to remove her, I could have just used the masking tool. But I wanted to show the result of Photoshop's automatic selection. So I selected a photo that my younger daughter had taken in New York City in 2007. It shows a sculpture by Richard Serra in the courtyard of the Museum of Modern Art. Picture was taken from the second floor. There are several people in the courtyard, and if this was your photo, you might have wished that no people were present so you could concentrate on the artwork. Photoshop did an exemplary job of selecting and masking people, even one person that was across the street and well outside the museum's courtyard. No additional effort was required on my part, none at all. Check out how good the replacement is. It's as if nobody had been there on that spring day in 2007, or that she had waited for the exact perfect moment when the courtyard was empty. But this is the Museum of Modern Art. This is New York City. Waiting for the courtyard to be fully empty of people would have been a fool's errand. She'd probably still be standing there, waiting. So, in a nutshell, those are a few of the new features in Adobe's 2025 versions of its photo editing tools. If you look back over just the past 3 or 4 years, it's clear how much Adobe has pushed photo editing forward. The advantage of AI is that it can handle the drudgery. The tasks that take a long time to complete are tedious and are far from creative. So people can eliminate those cumbersome tasks and work on the creative bits that they really enjoy. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, there are two ways criminals can make Facebook users' lives miserable. One involves cloning the account by creating a look-alike identity and then attempting to convince the victim's friends to become friends of the new account. The crooks can also take over the account, change the password, and lock the user out. As annoying as having the account cloned is, it's trivial when compared to the damage thieves can do if they take over your account. That's why it's essential to prevent crooks from getting their foot in. Let's first consider how difficult it can be to regain access to an account if thieves get in. Facebook sends an email when certain account changes are made, new email address or new password, for example. If you receive such an email, immediate response is required. First, of course, you need to make sure the message came from Meta. Look for all of the usual clues that suggest fakery. Once you're sure, move fast because you can be sure the crooks are working fast as they try to make changes that will permanently lock you out. Also, keep in mind that Meta has no customer support. None. None at all. There's no web form. There's no email address. There's no phone number. Anything you find that purports to be Meta or Facebook support is a scam. My older daughter received such a message about a year ago, ignored it, and we had to set up a new account for her with a stronger password and two-factor authentication. When Facebook notifies you that your password has been changed and you didn't change it, examine the message to see if there is an option to reverse the change. If so, choose that. Be sure that the link in the email actually goes to Facebook, though. If that option isn't available, try to log in and change your password. If you can't log in, use the forgot password process. You will need access to the email address and the phone number that are associated with your account. Facebook will send confirmations to the email address, the phone, or both. If you are able to regain access, go to the account settings and immediately enable two-factor authentication for added security. This will require a code sent to your phone or email whenever you log in from an unrecognized device. Then review your account activity for any unauthorized posts, messages, or changes. Review and update security settings that you've established for Facebook. Make sure your email and phone number are up to date. If you've used your Facebook password for any other account, email account, a bank, a store, change those passwords too, and don't reuse any password. Facebook has a security checkup tool. Use it. Pay careful attention to the recommendations. Two-factor authentication adds an extra layer of security beyond your password. If somebody gains access to your login ID and your password, they won't be able to log in if they don't have access to the device or the service that you're using for two-factor authentication. When Facebook receives an attempt to log in from an unauthorized, unrecognized device or location, it'll require that second form of verification. While this doesn't entirely eliminate phishing attacks, it does mitigate the risk. To enable two-factor authentication, follow Facebook's instructions. I've provided a link to that instruction page on the TechBiter Worldwide website. The instructions are provided for computers and both Android and iOS mobile devices. Be safe out there. It's dangerous. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.